WTLA North Syracuse, WSGO Oswego, W249 BC Mattydale, W261 AC Oswego, WTKW HD2 Bridgeport, ESPN Radio.
I'm a fun
guy.
You
have fun when they finish below 500.
I'm just Captain Fun.
I guess.
I'm gonna wear a captain suit the show from now on.
I don't like the half point.
Well, that's called the hook.
I don't like it.
What the hook?
How do you get rid of it? Can you get rid of the hook?
I'm gonna have a coronary. I'm getting too old for this job, but you guys may have won.
Upset. If you look back at where the term came from, it was from a horse race.
When did you turn into Cliff Clavin?
I like this job. I've had it for a long time, Paul.
Last one.
This isn't a chemistry lab.
You're on the verge of next year's Super Bowl.
I can't help what I think. Be honest, Paulie. You're not doing this for other people's entertainment. You are truly enjoying this.
This is Orange Nation. With Stephen Fonte and Paulie Sibilia.
Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you with us. It's another week of Orange Nation. Stephen Fonte, Paulie Sibilia with you today up until 2 o'clock. We've got Andrew Snyderman, GM of Legends Syracuse Ticketing Sales and Service Group. He'll join us here in studio to talk about some ticket offers being made available for the SU football season. John Whitaker, known on social media circles, in and around social media circles, as Big Game Boomer, will be on with us at 1 o'clock to talk ACC football. And then coming up at 1:30, our good friend Aaron Solomon, head of strategy at Esquire Digital, will join us to talk about a host of legal topics going on. And we'll talk some nerds. Was that you or Jordan?
That was me.
That was you.
I've been waiting for that all
weekend.
Waiting
to do that.
48 hours I've had that all stored up in my tiny little brain.
We'll take we'll take your phone calls at 315-437-7644. And, yep, the nerd team is playing tonight. Bayham's Army is not.
Just like Revenge of the Nerds, you can't beat them. Can't beat the nerds.
What'd you think? I know you were courtside, so...
I just think that and I'm not saying people shouldn't have been on the roster. I just think it was a bad roster. The guys that carried them to it last year, just maybe a little too old for this now. Right? You know, like DeAndre Kane, Kennedy, like they had a great run in this tournament. Maybe it's a little bit time to move on.
Well, they showed their age in that, you know, both of those guys, you mentioned Kennedy and Kane, both were unable to finish the game because of injuries. And you were without Tyler Ennis, who was dealing with back spasms. As the game progressed, you were without DJ Kennedy and DeAndre Kane. Rakeem Christmas fouled out. I'll be honest with you, and I think you would agree with me, they didn't deserve to win the game. It was a great comeback, you know, and it's unfortunate how the end played out. They didn't deserve to win the game. Nerd team outplayed them.
Yeah, it was fun. And now next year we'll see a different roster, I'm guessing. Thank you for the championship. Got one more run in. It's time to move on.
Well, we were curious, too, because, there were new faces. I mean, this was, yes, Bayham's Army won it last year, but this didn't feel like a true title defense. I mean, you had half the roster was different than it was a year ago. And some of those guys, and we talked about this on Friday at the home team pub, that they were only returning, 29% of their scoring production from the championship game last year. You know, Chris McCullough wasn't there, and Tyrese Rice wasn't there, and Kiefer Sykes wasn't there, and Chris McCullough wasn't there. And, the high leverage guys, for the most part, and I know Kane and Kennedy were big parts, of that championship run last year, but a lot of the pieces, the big pieces last year were gone. And, that's a risk anytime that you have that much turnover. And it didn't come together for these guys.
I will say one thing. Matt Morgan is sneaky good, like real good, like fast. He was unstoppable, like even against the nerd. So he is a nerd.
Yeah, that's right.
He's good. I'd love to see him back. D-Boss was great. Like to see him back.
D-Boss likes to shoot.
Yeah.
He likes to shoot.
Yeah, but he didn't take any more shots than Morgan did, It's fine. They just got to get a little younger. And I don't care if they go outside the family, they have to, they will, and they'll find somebody.
It was a great comeback. You know, Marek missed two free throws. He missed that big layup at the end, too, where he drives the lane. He misses the layup, chance to cut it to one. And on the rebound, that's where CJ committed the foul. You know, then they, at the other end, Nerd Team makes one free throw. So they go from four away the target number to three away from the target number. And then obviously banking that three.
I also think CJ got a, you know, you don't realize it when you're playing it that they get the ball. Like, you just got to give the rebound up and play defense. Cause he twice during the Elam ending fouled on the rebound and right. You get the free throw and the ball back.
Right.
And it was, you just got to give it up and go play defense.
Right. And they almost pulled it off. And they, again, had no business winning that game. It was almost like the Ivy Leaguers were playing not to lose at the end. And then Bam's Army got all the momentum. And, you know, the place was rocking. Again, you were there.
I still think Bam's Army's roster was better even with the injuries. I just think the injuries, you know, you don't plan for that.
Right.
You know, so.
And Tyler Ennis was so good in the first game and running the show and distributing and getting the ball to who needed to get it and in their spots. And all of a sudden, he's out of the lineup, and then you lose Kane and Kennedy, who, again, with Devendorf on the bench, Kane and Kennedy become kind of the heart and soul of the team on the court. And we saw Eric Devendorf get involved, quote unquote.
Right. I was talking to Matt Park about this. They need security at those games.
Yeah.
They really do. And it's not just a Syracuse thing, and it's not a Nerds thing. It's happened in every. They get chippy because. Those are grown-ass men playing for $1 million.
You saw LaFonso Ellis last week.
They're playing for $1 million.
For pushing a player on the other team. Like, yes, they need at all of these games.
It's like bouncer. Like, yeah. They need basketball bouncers.
Yeah.
Because, it gets chippy. Those Nerds were taunting the crowd, too, after the game. That was fun. I liked that.
Now, it was hard to tell on TV. It looked like there was a little bit of a skirmish in the handshake line. Was there a little...
I think there was arguing, but yeah. I don't think it was a skirmish.
You couldn't really tell on TV, but you could tell that it wasn't...
It was an extended handshake.
I was going to say, it wasn't a smooth handshake line where they're in
they
and out.
They should get rid of that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just get rid of it.
The mandatory handshake line. What was the crowd like?
It's awesome.
Friday compared to Saturday was
the crowd. All right, here this is me being a PR guy. It was a smaller crowd for the second game because they charged too damn much for the tickets. I think they were. I don't know what they cost at other arenas, but you need to make that like a $15 ticket so people can go to all the games.
Yeah, right.
It was $35, but.
But good crowd, right?
But great crowd.
Yeah.
Great crowd.
Seemed like Syracuse, it on TV, yeah.
Syracuse basketball fans are as good as it gets in the country. You know, I make fun of them all the time, but they're as good as it gets. They're crazy. They're out tailgating for a bunch of players that played 10 years ago. It's weird, but they love their orange.
It's a shame. It would have been nice to have a game tonight.
It would be nice to have something to talk about for the next 2 weeks. You're damn right.
Yeah.
Instead, we got to talk about potential trades in the NBA and baseball for the next month. Maybe that football season's rolling up on us, too.
Bills opened up training camp yesterday. We can talk some NFL.
It would be interesting. Could you think you could build a roster of just Syracuse guys that could win this tournament? I know they've got issues, like conflicts and stuff that they can't do. But
well, you know, Tyler Lydon's a great example, right? He was on the team last year. He's retired, right? That's what I'm saying. It's a good example of somebody that he's young enough to play.
Chris McCullough,
again, a guy good. Who was on the team last year.
See, that's where I would go. I'd go McCullough, Richardson. You know, if you could get those
Malachi
guys.
Malachi was on the team last
Tyus
year.
Tyus Battle was at the game, but he had a boot on his foot. Get him. Like, Brandon Trish isn't a spring chicken anymore, but.
You mentioned this off air. Marek.
Marek is Marek.
Did some good things, but he gets exploited.
Yeah, if he's taking a shot and he gets bumped, he can't score.
Right.
And that happened. We watched that for 4 years.
He got a little exploited on the defensive end, too.
Yeah. So, Marek, I would take Marek back.
What about Jimmy?
Yeah, I take Jimmy. Raheem is fine too. He's a matchup nightmare.
So,
but
let me ask you this, because you rattled off a lot of guys, and I have no issue with the guys you mentioned, but there's a reason that they went out and got DeAndre Kane and DJ Kenny. They got those guys because they're tough.
Yeah.
Right? So who would replace those two guys? Like if they were off the roster, who takes on that role? Like, you know, Diefendorf's not an option right now. You know, he's retired. You know what I mean? Like who's gonna be that physical, let's get a stop, you know, I'm gonna
Tyus, maybe?
Maybe.
Who knows? They're a finesse team. They'll go out and finesse everybody.
But the nerds
were physical.
Yeah. I was
for a bunch of nerds, they were physical.
That's what I'm saying though. In this tournament, and I don't think it's not a coincidence that they won it last year when they made some of those changes. You need to be physical to win this tournament. Like you're going to get pushed. You got to be able to push back to win this tournament. So that's why you say, you know, can you put together a roster made up of just SU guys? That's what I'm saying. Who's the DeAndre Kane and DJ
Tyler
Kennedy?
Tyler Roberson.
Maybe. That's not a bad suggestion.
He always was fired up for game time. Tyler Roberson.
When he was, he played well.
Man, the one thing about that tournament that gets in my head, like, they're playing for $1 million. Like, that's a lot of cash for a lot of, like, Rakeem Christmas doesn't care about that. He's asked his father-in-law for a couple bucks. But the rest of them are out there, you know, out there playing.
I bet that kind of money still matters to Rakeem.
I would punch you square in the face if I could win $1 million, man. And no offense, but if we're playing basketball, I'm dropping bows on you.
It's not actually $1 million per person.
No, but yeah, that's a lot. It's still a chunk of money.
Yeah.
It's enough for me.
It's a year's salary in a couple of weeks.
It's enough for me to drop a bow on Stephen Fonte's grill.
Yeah.
I have to jump a little.
We wouldn't be on the same team. We'd be playing against each
other. I don't know. I'm just saying, if we were playing against each other for $1 million, all bets are off. I'm sweeping the leg.
Well, it was a quick run, and yeah, I was looking forward to seeing the Buffalo team against Bam's Army tonight.
Is $80,000 enough for you to drop a bow on my nose? They want to know.
And yes.
Yes, absolutely. And yes. I'd take it. I'd walk around with the black eyes. If Steve beat me out for $80,000 and it took, just drop me.
You'd be okay.
Yeah, I'd be fine with it. We're playing for money.
Yeah. I do think we'd be on the same team, though. I'd like to think that.
Yeah, maybe. But if we're not, off the court, I love you. On the court, I'm putting you into traction. You're going to the hospital. It's ACDC day, Steve.
That's right.
Back in Black was released today.
All right. We'll see how many of these I know. I'm
going to
know a couple.
You'll know them all.
I'll know them all.
They're arena rock.
All right.
AC/DC is arena rock. You've heard them at the Dome or at a basketball game.
I'll take your word for it. We'll find out as the show moves along. All right. We're going to step aside here. Phone lines open if you want to check in on Bayham's Army, 315-437-7644. Andrew Snyderman will be in with us here in studio at 12:30 to talk SU football ticket sales. But we're going to step aside here. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com.
Welcome back to Orange Nation, wrapping up hour number one. On AC/DC Day, celebrating the birthday of the album Back in Black, Thunderstruck. I was thunderstruck last night, Steve. The weather was a little hairy last night. My dog did not like it. So I was up all night with a dog that was whimpering and shaking in my bed all night.
We lost power last night for about 3 hours. I had trouble sleeping because I don't like complete silence when I sleep.
That is bizarre. Like, I always have an AC or a fan on, but normally people don't like noise when they...
I like some white noise, whether that's a fan,
Why didn't you
AC,
turn your phone on to a white noise app?
Because you want to know the real reason?
You'll annoy your wife.
No, she likes it too. I was concerned that, what if your phone dies and my alarm didn't go off? That's what I was worried about.
Oh.
Because it couldn't be plugged in. So that's what I was concerned about.
I know this isn't like the topic at hand, but why can't you plug your phone in while you're sleeping?
It was power was
the
out.
Power went out.
Oh. You know, I thought you were talking general.
Someone clearly sitting right next to you.
I thought you were talking in general.
Did not listen to you at
no,
all.
No, I just didn't think we were harping on a one-day problem because the power was out. I thought this was a consistent issue.
He said
issue.
He didn't sleep well. I said I didn't sleep well either because it was too quiet.
I was just going to try to find you a solution, Steve. Okay. I'm sorry.
Listen to the show, dude. You're sitting right here.
Are you saying SMH right now, Paul? Are you shaking your head?
Yes.
That's what Jaylen Brown tweeted at 10:54 this morning. And the reason is because the Celtics have emerged as seemingly the favorites to land Kevin Durant. There was a package which featured Jaylen Brown, also had Derek White formerly from the Spurs and a draft pick. Nets turned that down and said any offer not only needs to include Jaylen Brown, but Marcus Smart, a draft pick, and potentially another rotation player.
Yeah, you're getting Kevin Durant. Is that asking too much?
Is it asking too much? No, look, you're talking Jaylen Brown. You're talking guys in their early 20s for Kevin Durant. He's incredible, right? How many more years does he have, really?
Three. That's three more runs at a championship for Boston.
But they could get 10 more runs at a championship if you keep Brown and Tatum together. That roster is incredible.
I don't know. Why are they asking then?
You tell me. I mean, ESPN's Mark Jackson, he thinks that all 29 teams
yes.
should trade for Durant. I disagree.
The same thing's going on in baseball right now. Everybody go get Juan Soto.
I believe 29 teams should be going after Kevin Durant. He's that great of a player. So to me, it's not a shock when another team is thrown in there trying to steal him away from the Brooklyn Nets. He's an incredible all-time great talent. Obviously, he's a home run hitter. When it matters most, the guy you can get the basketball to, and he can carry you. So I think that every team should be on the phone putting forth their best package possible to get Kevin Durant in their uniform.
Now, just call me crazy. I'm going to go against what I just said. Is there one team in basketball that knows that you could shut this guy down in the playoffs if you physical him up as the Boston Celtics?
I mean, yeah, right? They're the team
they're
that
the team
can maybe
that just
do it.
Showed you how they had the puzzle piece to shut him down.
I'm really interested by both these packages that you guys are going to talk about, right? You mentioned the one involving Jaylen Brown. You're going to bring up one with the Warriors. I mean, those two teams were the best teams in basketball last year. They met in the finals. And I understand that it's Kevin Durant and that you would prefer to have him than not have him. But, I mean, let's just mention the Warriors one here. You know, Wiggins and Poole in a package for Durant. I don't know. I mean, right? I mean, that's the future of your franchise. Jaylen Brown is the future of your franchise if you're the Celtics.
You're mortgaging
your future for a, you know, as you said, three-year window, whatever the number is.
But you've got the Wiggins 1 year, right? And that compared to what his past, is that repeatable, what he did?
I think it absolutely is.
Or was that a product of being on this team?
Either way, if he's still on that team, he repeats it, you would think.
Yeah, I'm asking for the Nets, though.
Oh, like, I see.
Would you take him knowing his track record?
Well, they haven't. No,
they
nobody,
said no.
Nobody's pulled the trigger.
They said
right.
No.
They turned that down.
The other thing I brought up.
I'm saying, hang on. I'm just saying if you're the Warriors and Celtics, like I get that you want Kevin Durant, but do you want to give away
like,
your future for
I feel
him?
Like you're guaranteed a championship if you get him, whereas you're not guaranteed with the other guys.
I think Celtics are guaranteed a championship if
yes,
they add Kevin Durant.
They will win a championship in the next 4 years if they get him.
But if Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart are both gone, and I mean, Tatum's
well, they already said no. That's not
no,
happening.
I'm saying if that, but they're obviously they feel like they can win without Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart. Or no, it wasn't. I'm sorry, Smart wasn't part of the package.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown was part of the package.
So the Celtics, they didn't want to give up Smart initially. They're like, we'll give you Derek White.
Yeah, they're not going to give up their future. I feel like they're.
Remember, Jaylen Brown's their future. I mean, Brown and Tatum are their future.
But you're winning, like you're guaranteed. Yes, I think you're going to win one if you're the Celtics or the Warriors if you get KD.
I just can't get past the fact, and yes, KD's an all-time great. I know 33 isn't that old. Jordan Poole was born 2 years after I was born. He's super young. Andrew Wiggins, 95. He's got like 6 or 7 years on Kevin Durant. They're turning down guys who could be on their team for almost 10 years.
So you agree with, so are you a little surprised the Warriors offered those guys? Because I'm a little surprised that they offered those guys.
I think both those teams have good enough rosters where I don't think they need to be in go, go, go mode.
I mean, obviously the Warriors just won the NBA title. Right? So I'm a little surprised that they offered that package. But
same thing is happening in baseball right now. Same exact thing. You got to go get this guy, no matter who you are. Mark Jackson's
100%
right.
No, I feel that, but Juan Soto's 10 years younger than Kevin Durant.
But there's teams in on Juan Soto that aren't going to be able to keep him. They're going to get him for two and a half years at a run to win right now. Why the hell are the Mariners looking at Juan Soto? Because they want to. They're the Mariners, and they can have two and a half years of going
for
it right now.
The Mariners aren't coming off an NBA Finals appearance or an NBA Finals win.
No, but why are the Yankees? The Yankees are
we talked about this earlier, because they might be moving on from Judge and they need someone else.
Yeah, but they don't need him.
See, but the Yankees makes a little bit more sense to me than the Warriors, because this isn't like...
They're going to trade their
This isn't like,
future.
Well, Steph's, you know... his contract's coming up. He's not going to, you know, he may not resign with the Warriors, so they're looking at KD, right? I mean,
no, but the Yankees their prospect. Like, baseball's different in the fact that one player isn't going to win it all.
Right. I'm just saying, like, Judge, there is a strong possibility that Judge is not coming back. So you protect yourself and you go after Soto. I'm saying with the Warriors here, like, if they don't make this deal, they're most likely going to run it back with that same core. So why the urgency to make this trade? I don't know. I mean, KD is a hell of a player, obviously. I'm a little surprised that we're seeing Jaylen Brown's name and Wiggins/Poole associated for those two teams. They just met in the finals.
Also, Jaylen Brown, like, and I know Twitter is just a crazy place, especially with the NBA, but him tweeting out, shaking my head, like, don't you think you talk to Jaylen Brown? If you don't end up trading Jaylen Brown, is the relationship fractured now, too?
I mean, that's a concern.
Here's something else that is going on that I brought up to Jordan. If you make the trade with Boston and Golden State, you're not getting the draft picks you want, right? Because they want a lot
high,
of...
You want high draft picks, yeah.
You want a lot of games.
There's some truth to that. You would rather deal with somebody deal with the Sacramento Kings?
Yes, I would rather,
yes. They don't have any good players.
I know, but maybe they just load you up with draft picks. Trust the process. Mm. That'll get you far in life.
I don't know. It's interesting.
Who's joining us next, Jordan? Explain our guest.
Okay. I know you guys aren't as excited as I am, but if you've seen any...
Is it because we're boomers?
Yeah. If you've seen any college football ranking list on Twitter ever... Whether it's top 50 linebacking cores in the country, top 10 QBs in the ACC, top 50 burger joints, anything. Big Game Boomer has it covered. John Whitaker, we're going to talk some ACC football and maybe get into why Syracuse gets so much disrespect in these rankings a little bit.
I can tell you. I've got about 30 years of football to show for it.
All right, hour number one in the books.
Yeah,
John Whitaker.
We'll continue on AC/DC days, Steve. I know you're pumped.
All right.
Have you liked every song so far?
Yeah, I'm in. I'm in.
I liked you earlier when Back in Black is playing going, oh, I know this one. I would hope. I got one.
Yeah, no, these. I didn't realize it until I was putting the list together. Like, these are all songs you hear at sporting events.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised that I know them all.
We are too, Steve.
All right, John Whitaker joins us next on ESPN Radio.
ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. Watch live on QSportsTalk.com.
No, it's not third down at the Dome. It's Orange Nation. On AC/DC Day, as Back in Black was released today. If I haven't even looked what year it was, but it's pretty old. It's got to be in its 30s.
I would think so. I was going to say, we were kids, weren't we?
Yeah. Well,
maybe not kids.
Yeah, it was early 80s. I would say like 80. I remember being in San Diego when it came out and having it on vinyl.
There you go.
But this is how did I even forget this? Third down in the Carrier Dome. I mean, that's up there with the Clemson players running down the hill and... Notre Dame players slapping the signs when it comes to football tradition?
We're going to continue the football talk. If you happen to be watching us at QSportsTalk.com, you see our next guest live and in person. As we mentioned before the break, John Whitaker joining us now, better known as Big Game Boomer. And, you know, as Jordan was mentioning, he's known for his lists and rankings on Twitter, covering everything from best linebackers in the country to most desperate fan bases and so much more. So with that being said, John, I guess let's start with, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started and how you started, you know, making all these lists on Twitter that you're known for.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, guys. I mean, really, back during the COVID period when we were all kind of just at home doing nothing, you know, we all picked up new hobbies, and I had never used Twitter before until about November of 2020. It was Thanksgiving break. I just got on Twitter, saw all the banter arguing between fan bases, and was like, this is pretty cool. So then I just kind of started putting together these graphics, you know, initially because I'm an OU guy and going at Texas. But then I just kind of started figuring out ways to, you know, entice fan bases from all over the country, and had 50 followers in like November, and that, at that time period. Now I've got like over 45,000, I think, and almost 50,000 on Instagram. So it's been a wild ride. And I'm enjoying every second of it.
So it's worked for you, obviously. Well done. You mentioned you're an OU guy. I should ask you about Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC and UCLA and USC going to the Big Ten. What are your thoughts on all the conference expansion slash realignment that we've seen of late?
Well, I'm okay with OU and Texas going because it makes sense kind of from, because I'm a traditional guy. I like the region, you know, regionality of college football. So for that, it makes sense. But like, I'm sorry, but USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten is just maybe one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. It would have been one thing if they added like Notre Dame and Virginia. You would have been like, okay, yeah, that's fine. But I mean, it just, it makes no sense. It's just a money grab. And it's sad to see these TV networks really kind of pulling the strings here behind the scenes and getting the biggest brands in these two potential super conferences.
So let me ask you this, you being an OU guy, and we've talked a little bit about this on the show that, you know, we've questioned Oklahoma's desire to go to the SEC because we feel like, well, if they had stayed in the Big 12, they probably have a better chance of making the college football playoff every year because the competition isn't there. They'd probably be the favorite year in and year out. Whereas you go to the SEC, now you're dealing with Alabama and Auburn and Georgia, and you're just another great team, you know, among a conference of great teams. What are your thoughts in that regard of, you know, it's going to be a lot more difficult, I think, now for Oklahoma to get to the college football playoff.
It's going to be a lot more difficult, but I think the ceiling for OU in the Big 12 is just getting to the playoff. We've seen them get to the playoff like four or five times, and you know they get embarrassed kind of on the national stage. So going to the SEC, you're going to see a big improvement in recruiting. You're going to see a lot more money in TV revenue, and that's going to lead to paying, you know, coaches, hiring more staff, better facilities. So I think in the long run, it will be better for OU in the SEC.
All right. So let's dive into the ACC now, if we could. I know a few weeks back, you dove into the ACC on your podcast. Tell us about your outlook for this conference this season. And I guess let's start at the top. Who do you look at as being in the best position to win this conference this year? Is it Clemson or is it someone in the field?
So, the ACC this year is one of the most interesting conferences, especially that Atlantic division. I mean, man, there is some great quarterback play in this division. And, you know, I've been hyping NC State all offseason. I think that they're the most balanced team in that division and the conference overall. I really like Devin Leary. You know, Wake Forest, I like. They have a great offense, but we've seen that their defense is not great. Clemson, probably one of the best defenses, best defensive lines in the country, but we don't know about their quarterback situation. DJ Uiagalelei did not look great at all last year. So I see NC State as the most balanced team, and that's why I have them winning the conference this year.
Wow. Okay. So you're going with NC State. Do you have a feel for the other division for who would be coming out of the Coastal? Who do you give the edge there?
You know, I like Miami. I think it's going to be between Miami and Pitt. I just really like what Mario Cristobal's done. The staff he's brought in with Josh Gattis and Kevin Steele, Tyler Van Dyke is a stud in the making. It's going to be he's utilized the transfer portal. Can all those guys kind of mesh together and win? But we've seen that is probably the weakest division in college football. So that's why I like the Hurricanes.
You know, you mentioned Pitt and Miami. How important are these years now with all the conference realignment going on? Like, Pitt and Miami are basically playing for their football relevancy with this conference realignment, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've seen in the ACC, the grant of rights deal, I mean, all these ACC schools are, you know, talking about, hey, we want to go to the SEC, blah, blah, blah. Well, I mean, from everything I've seen, there is no chance anytime soon that anyone's leaving the ACC. So, I think they need to use the next decade really to build up that brand, build up success on the football field so that when the time comes for the SEC or the Big Ten to add some more schools, they're ripe for the picking.
All right. So obviously we brought up the ACC because we wanted to get your thoughts on Syracuse. So with that being said, yeah. Where do you think the Orange is? What's SU ceiling this year? And I guess what are your observations from the outside looking in at the Orange?
Well, Syracuse, I mean, if you looked at their schedule last year, I mean, they went, I think they went 3-9? And a lot of those games were pretty, like they went 5-7 last year. And their first like four or five losses were, I mean, pretty close. I mean, I think the average margin of defeat was like 4 points. The last three games of the season, obviously, got kind of out of hand with Pitt, NC State and Louisville. But, you know, it's interesting. They bring in Robert and I. They basically bring in Virginia's entire offensive coaching staff. And I don't know if the personnel fits kind of what Robert and I is going to want to do, because it's more of a West Coast style offense. And I like Sean Tucker. One of the best things about Syracuse football are his post-game tweets. And, you know, I think he's one of the best running backs in the country. Garrett Schrader's got to get better at passing. Some of the worst passing numbers in the conference. So that's got to improve. The defense is kind of what has held that team together. I think Tony White's done a great job. Their defensive line, obviously, they've got some holes to fill. You lose Cody Roscoe and Kingsley Jonathan. Those are some great guys on the defensive inside. So, but the linebacker core is probably one of the best in the ACC. And they've got a pretty strong, secondary as well. So we'll see. I mean, I've got them finishing last, just because that division is so tough this year. But I mean, you never know.
You know, we had Anthony Treach on last week from Pro Football Focus, and we had him on to talk about Sean Tucker because he put out, his list of the top running backs in the country, and Sean Tucker was not in his top 10. Did land at 11, but we were a little surprised around here that Sean Tucker wasn't in his top 10. So you alluded to it right there, but I wanted to get your thoughts on Sean Tucker. You know, whether or not he's a top 10 running back in the country.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous ranking. Sean Tucker is, I put out my rankings for running backs. I think I had him in the top five. The fact that he's able to do that, if Sean Tucker was playing in the SEC, he would hear all this Heisman hype about him. It's just the fact that he plays at Syracuse and he doesn't get any respect. And he had like 1,600 yards last year, I believe. 1,500 yards, 12 touchdowns. I mean, those are great numbers. And he doesn't get respect because of where he plays. And that's a shame.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal year, record-breaking year. Broke several records here at Syracuse, both for a freshman running back and just for a running back in general in an orange uniform. Talking about the defense, Michael Jones today, their star linebacker, named to the Buckus Award watch list. You like this linebacking core, don't you? And honestly, it's been an issue for this team the last several years. The linebackers, you know, have been young. They've been a weakness on the roster. But this linebacking core, you really like this group, and you think that, you know, they could turn into a strength for this team.
Yeah, no, especially with the defensive line kind of being a question mark. Like you said, Michael Jones, Marlo Wax, Stephon Thompson. I mean, that's right up there, I would say, with I would say maybe the third best linebacking core in the ACC behind NC State and Clemson. So it's definitely going to be a strength for them. Like I said, Tony White has done a great job, very underrated defensive coordinator. So I expect the defense to still be strong this year.
You know, we started this by asking you about conference realignment. I want to end this interview by asking you about the transfer portal. There's been a lot out lately that, the NCAA is discussing changes to the transfer portal in that, you know, guys will be allowed to transfer essentially as much as they want without having to sit out as long as they transfer during these designated windows throughout the year. It sounds like there's going to be two windows throughout the year. And if guys put their name in during that window, they'll be eligible the next year. So you could see guys transfer, you know, potentially, they could play for four different schools in 4 years. What do you think about that notion that it's not going to be just a one-time transfer, that guys could transfer multiple times and be eligible to play right away?
It's ridiculous, quite frankly. I mean, we thought the transfer portal is wild right now. Imagine this, you take that one-time transfer portal, deal away. I mean, it's just, I hate to see it, because it's like fans are going to become less attached to these players if they're changing teams every other year. And that's just one thing you hate to see. Like, I'm a Baker Mayfield guy. Imagine Baker Mayfield, he goes and plays at OU 1 year. Then he's like, heck, I'll go play at Texas. Then another year, he's going to play at Ohio State. How do you like a guy, for a guy like that if he's changing every year? It's just, it's a mess, and I'm not a fan of it, but, I don't make the calls, unfortunately.
I mean, the other thing about this, and I know that it's big business and we're talking sports, but, it is college, and ultimately, if you're there for 4 or 5 years, you would like to graduate. It's going to be really tough for guys to graduate if they're transferring to, three different schools or four different schools in 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, when you transfer, if all your credits transfer, I mean, it's going to be a mess.
Yes.
It's a mess transferring once, getting all your credits to the next school. I mean, imagine doing that 3 or 4 times. Kids could be in school for like 6 years.
Right. It'll be virtually impossible to graduate. And again, I realize we're talking sports, but you would hope that if they're there 4 or 5 years, they're getting a degree, but it's going to be very difficult if guys are transferring multiple times.
Absolutely.
John, before we let you go, just let people know what's the best way to consume your content. How can they find you on social media?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at Big Game Boomer, on Instagram at Big Game Boomer. I've also got a podcast. It's going out right now. It's kind of growing pretty quickly. It's called The Big Game Boomer Show. It's on YouTube, Apple, Spotify. I've got 3 episodes today, actually. So just cranking out content, getting ready for the season. So I appreciate you guys for having me on.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. Keep up the good work. And
if you're a Q Sports Talk, not a fan of the Rockies hit.
Why is that?
No. I'm a Padres fan. You can't wear. Matt Holliday still hasn't touched home plate. Right?
Come on. The Padres are killing it right now. I mean, the Rockies are a dying franchise. It's sad for me to be a fan, actually.
All right, John. Great stuff. Appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we can do it again down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. There he is, John Whitaker, also known as Big Game Boomer.
I don't think I've ever met a Rockies fan before.
Is that right?
Have you? There's some fan bases like you don't see a lot of.
That would be one of them.
Yeah.
I think I would have to agree with you. I don't know if I know a Rockies fan.
We do now. And hopefully you'll be a regular on our show.
Friend of the program.
Yes.
John Whitaker, Rockies fan. All right, phone lines open if you want to check in, 315-437-7644. We've got another segment, and then coming up at 1:30, Aaron Solomon, head of strategy at Esquire Digital.
Do you know a Twins fan?
I do. I work with one. Oh. Jeff Kulikowski is a big Twins. He's a Twins and Vikings fan.
Gotcha. Okay. Just throwing out some random ones. I know Arizona Cardinals fans, or just because I grew up out that way. I'm trying to think of other fan bases that are pretty.
Sacramento Kings? We talked about
this. Yes, I don't know a Kings fan.
I don't think I know a Sacramento Kings fan either.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. because we were talking about the fan bases who have suffered the most, and you and I were like, well, the Bills have to be at the top of the list. Browns, Padres, and Sacramento Kings were at
the top of the list. Well, I guess, I'm a Padres fan. I guess there's not many people. Like, how many Padres fans do you know? One. The biggest mouth guy in Central New York.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I know any. Yeah, I think you might be the only Padres fan.
I know one Bengals fan. I don't know a lot of them. Titans? Do you know a Titans fan? I do not know a Titans fan.
Like a diehard Titans fan? I can't say that I do. Can't say that I do. All right. We'll step aside here. Come on back. Aaron Solomon, good friend of the program. He'll join us at 1:30. He'll be on Q Sports Talk as well. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.